It is time for today's study. This is February 26, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 2010 hours Eastern Time. Ward Green with you again from Chapter 7, Paragraph 5 of the Crucible article, Crucible of Credible Creed, The Crucible of Credible Creed by Rolf Ward Green. As the icebergs off Iceland go southward on their journey, they deposit volcanic ash on the ocean floor as they melt. On the ocean floor. Cores of mud were analyzed by geologist Gerard Bond of the Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory at Columbia University to determine how far the ash went and thus how cold it was. In other words, the colder it was, the slower the icebergs would melt. I had an uncle called Jerry. We all called him Uncle Jerry, and this reminds me of that because only in relatively recent years, some 50 years after, did I learn that Uncle Jerry's name was not Gerald, but it was Gerard. And that was interesting how that could happen. Even my mother, when I told her, she didn't believe me. But I found out because the person who had become a counselor in the region of where Uncle Jerry lived was named Gerard. And he had the same last name as my uncle. So I said, well, that's got to be his name. The study by Gerard Bond revealed ice ages in Europe every 1,500 years by studying essentially how quickly these icebergs had melted in the past by looking at the layers of the mud. His study revealed ice ages in Europe every 1,500 years in duration 200 years, one of which had occurred in 2200 BCE for 200 years, which is exactly the time we're looking at because that's the time of Abraham, born in 2206 BCE. Mr. Peter DeMonocle, a colleague of Mr. Bond's, researched climate records for the rest of the world in 2200 BCE. And got the same message, according to Ms. Cecil, in that era. Ms. Cecil was the commentator on the BBC News who reported this. Quote, from pollen records to sand, the story was the same. A dramatic climate change from Indonesia to the Mediterranean, Greenland to North America. BBC News, Disaster That Struck the Ancients by Jessica Cecil, Thursday, the 26th of July, 2001, 12:12 Greenwich Mean Time. It's interesting, that was July 26th, and this is February 26th, 22 years and some months later, the same day of the month, but that was July 26th. The most telling part of the story was that of parents who ate their own children in Egypt. They ate their own children in Egypt. An horrific tale of hunger described in the hieroglyphic inscription of one Anktifi. I looked up Anktifi in Wikipedia. Anktifi was... No, that's not the reference. Here it is. In the 10th dynasty, even though his name is not entered in the 10th dynasty, the dating of the 10th dynasty is exactly the time of Abraham, according to Wikipedia, when Abraham was 76 years old, and after that, until Abraham is 166 years old. That's the time period of the 10th dynasty. We know Abraham from our own previous studies have gone we've seen, Abraham went down to Egypt about at the age of 75, so it fits perfectly with that. This time period of approximately 2130 for the 10th dynasty. And the reason I mention 10th dynasty is because Antipi is 10th dynasty, according to Wikipedia. Even though that time period is considered a dark age when not much is known about Egypt. Just for reference to what we're talking about. So, during this time of Antipi, there was a famine so severe that the Egyptians ate their own children. Eating of children and even of parents is also found quite a few times in God's holy word in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, 2 Kings, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel, and indicated the punishment of Jehovah's people for their disobedience, strictly a famine caused by an enemy siege upon a city. I just rushed through those, but they're all given in the references below. These are all clickable links that mention the eating of children during a time of famine. They're all from the Bible. Abraham was arriving in Egypt during the time of a famine. So this is perfectly in harmony. Everything we've said and found from the researches of scientists, and that of ancient times specifically, of the time, in fact, of Abraham in our own chronology, shows that there was a famine, apparently, in Egypt, evident from the various different studies that were done. Abraham was arriving during a famine, so how much more credible is our creed, seeing as our era for Abraham is confirmed as being an era of stupendous famine? That's the end of our study in the Crucible for today. It's some staggering kind of proof that I didn't expect to find at all. Because, I mean, the proof of the time of the Exodus could hardly be any better, although it's much more recent in our dating. Of course, it's 1493 BCE instead of 2206 for the birth of Abraham, and 2131 for the age 75 of Abraham when he was 75 years old. In 2131 BCE. I mean, it's much harder to ascertain the dating of Abraham from the evidence. You would think it would be. So it's very, very encouraging. It's exciting. It's staggeringly. It's just stupendous. It's hard to believe it's even possible to date something that old so accurately. And yet, Yahweh allowed it to happen when we look for the date of that time of Abraham. Excuse me. Like snow in summer, Proverbs 26. Now, verse 6 of that proverb is today's proverb, little ones. As one that is mutilating his feet, as one that is drinking mere violence, is he that is thrusting matters into the hand of someone stupid. And so, when we look at my own version of that Bible, verse 26 and 6, it's translated from American Standard Version 1901. It's Ward Green Version 2004, Proverbs 26 and 6. For one sending words by a foolish man's hand cuts off his own feet, sure to misunderstand. Yeah, even if you send a message by a foolish man, of course, you're not only sure of what message he delivered, you're also not sure when he comes back to you and tells you what he did, you're not sure you can rely on that either, as to understanding what it was that he said in delivering the message. So that appears to be a wise proverb, does it not? cuts off his own feet or mutilates his feet to give a matter or a message into the hand of someone stupid. Whereas in our translation, we said a foolish, someone foolish. Oh, that reminded me of something, yeah. There's something very interesting in the... What does it say? Do not show yourself excessively wise, right? Do not become foolish over much. I remembered this the other day, and I forgot to look it up just prior to this study, but Ecclesiastes 7 and 17, I looked it up the other day. Do not become wicked over much, nor become foolish. Why should you die when it is not your time? That was something my grandmother, Nanny Rowe, always told me. Her married name was Green, of course. She married Hayward Green. But her maiden name was Rowe. Linda Rowe was her maiden name. And she used to say all the time, like continually, was one of her favorite sayings, along with "the truth will set you free" from John 8 and 32. She often said, "Don't be so foolish." So this is from Ecclesiastes 7 and 17. That's the proverb for today was from Proverbs 26 and 6. And now, 1 Chronicles 16, "Thus they brought the ark of the true God in and placed it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they began to present burnt offerings," this is King David, "and communion sacrifices before the true God. When David finished offering up the burnt offering and the communion sacrifices, he went on to bless the people in the name of Jehovah. Further, he apportioned to all the Israelites, man as well as woman, to each a round loaf of bread, and a date cake and a raisin cake. Then he put before the ark of Jehovah some of the Levites as ministers, both to call to remembrance and to thank and praise Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Israel. And these are the names of the men he put before the ark: Asaph, the head, and second to him Zechariah, and Jehiel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jehiel, with instruments of the string type, and with harps, and Asaph with the cymbals, playing aloud, and Benaiah, and Jahaziel, the priests, with the trumpets, constantly before the Ark of the Covenant of the true God. It was then on that day that David made a contribution for the first time to thank Jehovah by means of Asaph and his brothers. Give thanks to Jehovah, you people, call upon his name. Make his deeds known among the peoples. Sing to him, make melody to him. Concern yourselves with all his wonderful acts. And this is from Psalm 105. This psalm that David is mentioning here. Make your boast, verse 10, in his holy name. Let the heart of those seeking Jehovah rejoice. Seek after Yahweh and his strength. Jehovah being another version of that name, Yahweh. Seek his face constantly. Remember his wonderful acts that he has performed. Just like we can say search or seek, and they mean the same thing. We can say Jehovah or Yahweh, and it means the same thing. His miracles and the judicial decisions of his mouth, O offspring of Israel, his servant, you sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Jehovah our God. In all the earth are his judicial decisions. Remember his covenant, even to time indefinite, the word that he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he concluded with Abraham, and his sworn statement to Isaac, and which statement he kept standing as a regulation even to Jacob, as an indefinitely lasting covenant even to Israel, saying, to you I shall give the land of Canaan, verse 18, as the allotment of your inheritance. This was when you happened to be few in number, yes, very few, and alien residents in it. And they kept walking about from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people. They did pass through many lands in their wilderness wanderings. And even, of course, when they went down to Egypt, they had to pass through different nations and then come back from there. He did not allow anyone to defraud them, but on their account he reproved kings, saying, "Do not you men touch my anointed ones, and to my prophets do nothing bad. Sing to Jehovah, all you of the earth. Announce from day to day the salvation he gives. Relate among the nations his glory, among all the peoples his wonderful acts. For Jehovah is great and very much to be praised, and he is to be feared more than all other gods. For all the gods of the peoples are valueless gods. As for Yahweh, he made the heavens. Dignity and splendor are before him. Strength and joy are at his place. Attribute to Yahweh, O families of peoples. Attribute to Yahweh glory and strength. Attribute to Jehovah the glory of his name. Carry a gift and come in before him. Bow down to Jehovah in holy adornment. Be in severe pains on account of him, all you people of the earth. Also the productive land is firmly established. Never will it be made to totter. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be joyful, and let them say among the nations, Jehovah himself has become king. Let the sea thunder, and also that which fills it. Let the field exult, and all that is in it. At the same time, let the trees of the forest break out joyfully on account of Yahweh, for he has come to judge the earth. Give thanks to Yahweh, you people, for he is good. For to time indefinite is his loving kindness. And say, Save us, O God of our salvation, and collect us together and deliver us from the nations, to give thanks to your holy name, to speak exultingly in your praise. Blessed be Yahweh, the God of Israel, from time indefinite to time indefinite. And all the people proceeded to say Amen, and a praise to Jehovah. Then he left there before the Ark of Jehovah of the Covenant, of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, Asaph and his brothers, to minister before the Ark constantly according to the requirement of each day. And Obed-Edom and his brothers, 68, and Obed-Edom the son of Jeduthun and Hosah, as gatekeepers, and Zadok the priest and his brothers the priests before the tabernacle of Jehovah on the high place that was at Gibeon. The tent where the ark was had been from the days of Moses, the tabernacle, to offer up burnt offerings to Jehovah on the altar of burnt offering constantly, the altar being outside the tabernacle, morning and evening. And for all that is written in the law of Jehovah that he laid in command upon Israel, and with them, Heman and Jeduthun and the rest of the select men that were designated by names to thank Yahweh, because to time indefinite is his loving kindness, and with them, Heman and Jeduthun, to sound forth the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of the song of the true God. Excuse me. Just a tickle in my throat. And the sons of Jeduthun at the gate, and all the people proceeded to go each one to his house, his own house, in other words. The people went to their own houses. Accordingly, David went around to bless his own house. And that's the end of 1 Chronicles 16. And I realized also today, my health is so good, and I realized that I have a bowel tolerance to vitamin C now, to the extent that I cannot take as much as 4 grams at one time of vitamin C, because that exceeds my bowel tolerance. That means my level of infection in my body has reduced even further. And now I'll be looking at maybe only taking 2 grams per day of vitamin C because of my bowel tolerance limit, which means I had some diarrhea, almost diarrhea today, and that was, I figured out after some time, it took me a few hours to several, well, hours from when it first happened to determine that it was the vitamin C causing it. But then I realized, of course, that's vitamin C manifestation, manifested as gas and also as diarrhea, or something closer to diarrhea than normal. And that's it for 1 Chronicles 16. But also, we'd like to look at Psalm 105, because that's what this is from. What David's psalm was from, it's also It's also called Psalm 105. Give thanks to Jehovah, call upon his name, make known among the peoples his dealings, sing to him, make melody to him. Concern yourselves with all his wonderful works, make your boast in his holy name. Looking then, also search for Jehovah, verse 4, and his strength, seek his face constantly. I could say Yahweh or Jehovah, I'm just reading, whichever name strikes my fancy. And for he is Yahweh our God, verse 7, but also he remembered his covenant, verse 8, and his sworn statement to Isaac, verse 9, which statement he kept standing as a regulation, even to Jacob, verse 10, saying, verse 11, I shall give the land of Canaan to you. So this is the same exact psalm. And then it mentions here something. And he proceeded to call for a famine upon the land. Verse 16, remarkably correlating to the time of what we talked about regarding Abraham, which is much earlier than this, much earlier than the time of the famine of Joseph's time, the father of Joseph being Israel or Jacob, and his father being Isaac, and his father being Abraham. So Abraham being the great-grandfather of Joseph, the famine of Abraham's time was much earlier than the famine of Joseph's time, but remarkably it does even mention famine. And, right, we'd been seeing a famine mentioned in the time of Abraham in our study article, The Crucible of Credible Creed, chapter 7, paragraph 5. Now we're studying, isn't it? Let's just check here. Let's go back. There we are. Yeah. Right. Okay. So it even correlates what we're studying in the Bible to the famine. By the later famine, it correlates to the famine of Abraham's time. It's quite remarkable. Hosea chapter 5. Now, little children, we have a little time, and it's not too long of a chapter. So let's read it first. Hear this, O priests, and pay attention, O house of Israel, and you, O house of the king, give ear. For with you people the judgment has to do, because a trap is what you have become to Mizpah, and as a net spread over Tabor, and in slaughter work those falling away have gone deep down, and I was an exhortation to all of them. I personally have known Ephraim, this is what is Jehovah's word as written by Hosea, and Israel itself has not been hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have treated women like harlots, similar to chapter 4, verse 10 of Hosea. We saw that also there. Israel has defiled itself. Their dealings do not permit of her returning to their God, because there is a spirit of fornication in the midst of them, and Yahweh himself they have not acknowledged. 4 and 10 of Hosea, they will actually treat women as harlots, it says, which we had yesterday. 5 and 5, and the pride of Israel has testified to his face, and Israel and Ephraim themselves are made to stumble in their error. Judah has also stumbled with them, with their flock and with their herd. They proceeded to go and look for Yahweh, but they could not find him. He had drawn away from them. With Yahweh himself, they have dealt treacherously. With Yahweh, we could say, Yahweh, with Yahweh himself, they have dealt treacherously, for it is to strange sons that they have become father. Now a month will devour them with their portions. Reminds me of when Tony Robbins said, He talked about having more month at the end of the money. Blow a horn in Gibeah, a trumpet in Ramah. Shout a war cry at Bethaven. After you, O Benjamin, O Ephraim, a mere object of astonishment you will become in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel I have made known trustworthy words. The princes of Judah have become just like those moving back a boundary. Upon them I shall pour out my fury just as water. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in justice, for he had taken it upon himself to walk after his adversary. And I was like the moth to Ephraim, and just like rottenness to the house of Judah. Some people translate the word month as locust, devouring their portions in verse 7, according to the commentator Adam Clark, also regarding Hosea chapter 5, verse 7. So the moth to Ephraim is like something that devours something. And just like rottenness to the house of Judah, that's what Jehovah or Yahweh was like to these his own people, but they were people, they were named, the northern kingdom was symbolically referred to as Ephraim, because he was a major tribe of that kingdom, and Judah was the name of the southern kingdom, and Ephraim got to see his sickness, and Judah his ulcer, and Ephraim proceeded to go to Assyria and send to a great king. See, the northern kingdom of Israel relied on Assyria, and they were greatly reproved when Assyria came and exiled them, took them away, captured Samaria, took them away in the year BCE 719, took them out of their own land and brought them into exile. But that one himself was unable, the king of Assyria, to give healing to you people. Now, in the days of Hosea, this had not happened yet. They'd simply been seeking help from Assyria. And the king of Assyria could not take from you an ulcer with any cure. That's like drugs being, like, it's like chemotherapy is a drug. It can't, it's not the cure for cancer. It's just a poison that they're trying to use to kill the cancer. There's no drug that's a cure for anything. It's about, you know, cures are always natural nutritional things that cure. You can actually cure, well, some people have cured cancer with vitamin C in very large quantities. There are vitamins you can use. Vitamins are all anti-cancer. Every vitamin is anti-cancer. For I shall be like a young lion to Ephraim and like a maned young lion to the house of Judah. I myself shall tear to pieces, and I shall go and carry off, and there will be no deliverer. You see? So it was Jehovah acting through Assyria when he came to capture the northern kingdom of Israel, also referred to here as Ephraim. I shall go, I will return to my place, said Jehovah, until they bear their guilt, and they will certainly seek my face. When they are in sore straits, they will seek me. And that's the end of Hosea chapter 5. We've just got a few minutes. Right, I mean, there's so many powerful things can be done with vitamins and with omegas and with glutathione, which is a protein, not even a vitamin. Just, and iodine is an element. They're all powerful things. That iodine increases intelligence, immensely increases the intelligence of people to have iodine as a food source, a supplement. Probably a supplement, but they used to add it to white salt, but white salt's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. But you can get iodine from the natural Himalayan salt, which is originally ancient sea salt. But we don't know how much iodine is in that salt. So you can take iodine supplement, which I do. But also you take vitamin E, because glutathione and vitamin E are, apparently they work together. I take the D-alpha form of vitamin E, about 400 units, I think it is. It's not 400 milligrams, is it? Not sure. One or the other, but it's a pretty standard, it's a pretty high dose of vitamin E, actually. Whatever it is that I take. But glutathione, I don't take much of that at all, but it helps in the production of human growth hormone, which is, you know, as you get older, you need more human growth hormone because that's why we don't heal properly. It's got to do with healing. Human growth hormone has to do with healing. So glutathione is, and it's very, very powerful. It increases energy. When I first started to take that, I hadn't even yet started to learn about vitamin K2. Then I learned subsequent to that about vitamin K2. I believe that was about 2013 of the Common Era that I learned about. The year 2013, I learned about vitamin K2. That totally changed my life. It's still changing my life every day. And now I'm using omegas. Ever since I've learned how good omegas are, I've also begun to eat eggs every second day, which I couldn't do before. I just didn't have an interest. I didn't like eggs, whatever. I don't know, not sure why. And yesterday I ate, instead of eggs, I ate cereal, and I had two more bowls of cereal at the end of the day because I was hungry. Eggs really satisfies your hunger. That's the difference with eggs. But and, you know, being fruit is good, but fruitarianism doesn't necessarily work because we know Steve Jobs was a fruitarian, and he got cancer. So fruit's not the answer. In fact, fruit is believed by some researchers now, too much fruit causes cancer, and it's a definite possibility. So fruit itself is not the answer, and of course sugar is not always good, and fruit, even though it's fruit sugar, it's still sugar. Sugar itself is not healthy in large amounts either, and it causes people to gain weight, and gaining weight's not good. It's not healthy, and especially the stomach fat. Now, I've had many illnesses during my life, too, so I'm really understanding more about vitamins because of that. I appreciate them more. My allergies disappeared when I started taking vitamin K2. I mean, it's phenomenal stuff. But I had to learn more about it and find out about the MK7 form as well as the MK4 form, which I learned later about the MK4 form of vitamin K2, which is a very powerful thing. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah, I think, I forget the name of the, this watch has a Swiss, Live Dusty has a Swiss movement in it. That's why she costs $900 and more, because it's Swiss. It's a Swiss movement. It's also automatic. It's self-winding. But you can wind it manually. It's, sometimes I had trouble with that, so decided to wear the watch. But I want to wear my other watches, too. And I'll probably just let the watch wind down and stop if I'm not wearing it now. But I think it's the SW2 version of the Swiss movement, if I'm recalling correctly. And this is Casio's, just a digital watch, costs $50. And it way more accurate than the Swiss watches, than the Swiss mechanical watches. Because, of course, it's a digital watch. The quartz crystal is much more accurate. That's the end of our study. It's February 26, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 2043 hours Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you. And in my behalf, it's Liv Dusty and Cassie saying bye for now.